B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
Welcome into Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshitz. People know us as the Bankroll Boys. Welcome to our latest podcast. We usually start out the show complaining, talking about something from last week, talking about trolls. Do you have anything you need to get off your chest this week, Dan?
No, I mean, the usual happens. You know, people are complaining about everything. Nothing new. It just is what it is. This is just the part of the community.
Take some L's. I had UCF 7.5. They lost by 8. Dan had LSU.
I had LSU minus 7. That's a win.
I had Ohio State. I bought it to 4.5 because I always wait till kickoff. But we gave away 5.5 on the podcast. It lost.
Correct.
So there you go. And people, Bankroll Boys don't know anything. Dude, we went, 9-4-1 in the bowls.
All right, let's talk about some winners. Eagles minus 7 for
right,
you.
Yeah.
I'm done with doing the negativity. Eagles minus 7 for you.
Boom, done.
Easy win. Easy win.
That was an easy win.
Pats minus 7 first half. Easy win. And Pats minus 13 for you.
Easy
win. So we were 3-0 in NFL PPs. We talked about on the podcast, Auburn minus 3.5, easy win.
Kicked ass.
Easy win.
Over went over in the first half.
Over went over in the first half, easy win. We talked about Florida.
Oh, that was
Florida,
a good
Florida
people
plus
are loving
6.
Us.
Easy win for that one. I had the Florida-Michigan over 50.5, which I posted for you guys. Easy win. There were a bunch of other leans. I had Kentucky, as we talked about in the lean. I said I told you I thought they were going to win outright. They won outright, and that was an easy one. There was the over in the LSU-UCF game. That was another one. Easy win there, too. My PP of the college week, Northwestern, plus 7.5. Outright winner.
And that didn't look good early on.
Did not, but they came back, and I told you they were the better team.
You had Kentucky, too, which I did. I thought Penn State. Penn State made a nice comeback.
Yeah,
they did.
They should not have. Kentucky was just started to be doing, you know, screwing around. On the podcast, I told you I had the Panthers plus 8. And I liked them if I could get them at 8. They closed at 8. We gave out 8, Joe. They won outright. We also, you know, so you had 7, 8, whatever, they won outright. We talked about paying the Panthers first half as well at 3.5. They won outright. I posted 3, but 3.5,
either way, they
won outright. We talked about the Cowboys. I told you they weren't going to play Zeke, but Dak was going to play. I like them to win because, you know, the Giants are just the Giants.
Great touchdown there.
They won. Huge touchdown
Beasley,
at the end of the game.
Wow, what a catch.
Cole Beasley, and they won, and they also covered the first half, which is the first half play I recommended last week. And then finally, the Bills, which I know you did not like.
I did not like
but
that.
But I like the Bills.
It was tied at halftime. Bad interception.
And then they dominated the second half.
Yep. That's my phone.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Just as expected, and the Bills won. I mean, literally, we dominated. I don't know.
Yeah, I lost 2 games all weekend.
Yep, and you had Oklahoma 6.5 in the second half.
Hit.
We had
in the under.
We had Alabama team total over 45.
Well, I liked Oklahoma to begin with. I fell asleep, didn't get the bet in, and then I saw that I could still cover second half, and I took it. And the under still hit. I don't know how. How many people were like, luckiest bet in the world, 21-0, you weren't feeling that way. I'm like, dude, I fell asleep for the first half. Yep. I just took a bet second half and hit.
And not only that, but we had the Alabama team total over 45, which was a push. And I know people were complaining to me about, I couldn't get the Bama to 45. I don't know you guys.
They also took a knee at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys want me to do. When the line is where the line is. You know, when we're on the podcast and where the line is. I'm not going to alter the line because of where I think it's going to go. So I'm just going to give you the line that's there.
But there were winners. So. If you listen, dude, I don't know how many people reached out to me.
Oh, the Bama team total first half, over 24.5. We dominated.
First half hit, too.
Yeah, the over 24.5 first half. The Bama against the spread we talked about first half. I mean, we straight up, we dominated.
Yeah, I had a bunch of people tell us they listened to the podcast. They won money. Congrats to everybody. Of course, people want to troll you, and everyone's an expert, blah, blah, blah. But it is what it is. And listen, this is our first year doing the show. In this first segment, this is what we do. We talk about last week. We complain a little bit, blah, blah, blah. We'll get into the game shortly. But any other positive things from last week?
So we're viewing the preseason NFL podcast. Patriots over 11.
Push.
So that was nice for us because we both thought that that was going to be pretty much a win there.
I had Seattle over that hit. Go ahead, go with your list.
So just going over the college football, we had BC over 6.5 wins for 2 units, which is our biggest play of the year, easy win. Boyse State over 10 wins, push.
I had Wake Forest 6 wins.
We had Wake Forest over 6 wins.
They won 7 they won. Actually.
Yep,
yeah,
they
yeah,
won.
I went over.
We had Nebraska under 6.5 wins, which is a win.
Yep.
We had Arizona State under 4.5 wins.
That was a loss.
That was a loss.
Yeah.
We had one other one that I can't remember what you took, and I'm blanking on it right now. I did not write it down. That was also a win. So that was good. We had futures for Clemson at one whole unit plus 475 to win the national championship.
Wow.
So we can always hedge our bets on that one, take Bama, but we will immediately make money. We had Miami, Auburn, and Washington as well. So that's a unit and a half that's lost there. But since we're going to get 4.75 units out of Clemson, you can always hedge for Bama and make sure we don't have any losses. So we won the national championship bet immediately. If we hedge with Bama,
yeah, you can put 400, 500 bucks on Bama and hope wash it out, only take a little loss, whatever.
Our Heisman bets, Browning, Akers, Herbert, Locke, and Stidham, all were losses.
Who will be the Heisman? Haskins?
No, sorry.
Murray.
Murray won that. So that is.
Oh, wow. We were off on that one.
We were way off on that one. But again, Heisman.
Yeah, it came
tough,
out of nowhere.
Man. Yeah, Heisman is always.
I mean,
tough.
People knew Murray was gonna be good. That good? Woof.
Yeah. So I will get the NFL futures up for you right now.
We'll do that. Yeah, and I think coming up, number one pick will be in the mix for odds on that. I think it's Joey Bosa early on, but I haven't seen any odds on that yet.
Not Joey Bosa.
Sorry, his brother Nick.
Nick Bosa. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so NFL picks. Joey Bosa and Jadeveon Clowney to win Defensive Player of the Year, not going to happen. Yep. So those are two losses.
Aaron Donald probably.
Our over season totals. Colts, over 7 wins.
Boom.
Winner. Ravens, over 8 wins. Winner. Chiefs, under 8.5 wins. Loss.
That was you.
Titans, under 8.5 wins.
That was...
I think that's a winner.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I believe that's a winner.
They would have went 8-8, right?
I think they went 8-8. So I believe I'll double check that for you guys, but I believe that was a winner because they lost the last week
to the Colts.
So
yeah, I'll look it up. Keep going.
Yep. No, 8-8. Oh, sorry, 9-7.
9-7.
No,
okay.
No, okay. So that was a loss. We had the Patriots over 11 wins. Winner. We had the Saints. Push. Yep. We had the Saints over 12 wins. That's a winner.
Yep.
We had the Steelers as our big bet, under 11 wins. Boom. That was a winner. And we had the Raiders under 7.5. That was a winner. We had the Niners over 7.5. That was a loss.
And we had the Bears over as well.
And we had the Bears over 5.5. I'm sorry. That was one I forgot to write down. Our two
I only remember that because we were trying to do a podcast to pitch it to our program director.
That's really hammered
Chicago. On
our two MVP bets, Drew Brees and Jimmy G.
Ooh, Jimmy G, that was you.
So, yep, Jimmy G plus 1,600. Drew Brees plus 1,515. He's the odds-on favorite.
I think Mahomes still has a shot.
So if we want to hedge with Mahomes, we'll immediately make some profit there. We had the Broncos to win the AFC West. That was a loss. We had the Saints to make the playoffs. That was a win. We had the Patriots to win the AFC at plus 275, which means we can always hedge if we want to. Not great value there. We had Davante Adams over 1,055.5 receiving yards.
Crushed that.
Winner. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton over 1,050 receiving yards. Winner. Larry Fitzgerald over 4 touchdowns. Winner. So if you listen to our previews, you did pretty well. You did very well. I think there was a time that I said, that we were going to look at taking the Eagles to win the NFC East. Obviously, that not happened. So, if you took that was a loss too. So, I did count everything, went over everything, and I think we did pretty well, Joe.
Yeah.
So,
I think we do very well, and when we lose, we
own it.
We own it.
And so,
but for the most part, though, I think we've been on the right side of things, and we do this podcast to talk about it, so you make the right decision. We just try to lean you in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. So we, you know, so what we did is we did we gave you previews. We did very well, I think, for the most part. We're going to definitely make you some money if you listened. And, you know, we did very well on last week's podcast. We're not going to want to complain about, you know, too much this week.
Yeah, but I've been doing some complaining.
We both have. Let's be fair. We both have. I have, too.
We've been doing this every single week, though. And we're doing really well when people are like, hey, you guys suck. It's kind of like, hey, dude, big bank tank, little bank.
Yeah, it gets annoying when you're hitting like 64%. I think that's extremely good, and you just get crap for it.
And I mean, you can't win every single game?
I mean,
you can't get them all right?
No, I mean, people don't. I don't think that people really understand gambling.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the.
And it's like, you know, you had four good weeks, and it's like, let's go start a tout. You know, like, yeah, you're going to pay me for picks. Why the hell would I pay you for picks?
Yeah, I do have a buddy who we went tout who we like. And we have someone else we know who went out.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I've subscribed to services before because I want to fade or follow.
Yeah.
Like, there are some guys where I'm like, this is, he's just throwing the shit out there. Like, you know, and so I sometimes fade it. I actually prefer, there's some guys out there when I see him make a pick, I go the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
100%.
And it's just, it's fade or follow. Fade or follow.
You're
going to make these T-shirts someday, Dan.
100%. I mean, really, there's a lot. Honestly,
like Dan's pick? Fade it.
Yeah, go ahead. And then send me the ticket afterwards and brag when you win.
Yeah.
Fine with me. I will say this. I will tell you this, Joe. I have been part of the gambling community for a while, the online Twitter gambling community. 95% of the guys on there suck. They are terrible. If you find three or four accounts who actually
But I feel like they're trying to be sharps.
Yeah, but they suck.
Yeah.
They're long-term, they suck.
Like, you can call me a square, but, like, I'm plus money.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to call me, I'm plus money.
You find the right side, the right place to be square on. And so, you know, that's a win. So, but, yeah, there are a lot of guys out there who suck who say buy my
picks. Can we bring
one
up? Remember the Packers game at the Jets 2 weeks ago? That was the squarest play in the world. And the Jets owned that game.
The Jets should have won that game.
They owned that game, and somehow the Packers covered. But you know what? You were on the right side of it.
The Jets
kicked their ass.
They did, but at the end of the day, what counts is...
what side you were on.
Yeah. So, again, we did very well in college football bowl season. We went 9-4-1 in our official plays. We actually went 8-3-1, but Joe and I split the LSU game. So 9-4-1 without that.
UCF, man.
Yep. I'm telling you, if LSU doesn't lose their corners, it's not even close.
And I'll tell you, the books are tight. They are right now. Yep. I'm seeing it in the NBA right now. I'm seeing it in college basketball. They're tight. And when there's nothing else to bet, the sharps are a little tighter. But there is value out there.
There is.
I mean, I watched the NBA last night. Like, there's a ton of value on some of the over-unders. I saw last night Celtics were -6 without Kyrie Irving covered.
I hated that pick.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I mean. Who would normally bet that, though?
I just thought that they were getting a lot of love last night.
Yeah, coming off a long little three-game road trip.
Yeah, though. I did not do – I had two plays in the NBA
last anyways, night. We got playoffs, Dan. This is where I make a lot of money.
Okay, so this is where I tend to struggle.
Okay.
So I tend to struggle in the NFL. In the first round, I tend to struggle. In the second, third, and fourth rounds, I tend to do very well. So this is
don't overthink it.
Yep.
Don't overthink this.
Yep.
And also think ahead a little bit too. Like, what's the next matchup? Look into that. And we'll get into a few games here in a minute. We'll take a short little pause and let everyone know that you can find us on 985thesportshub.com and all the other shows. Another podcast on 98.5 The Sports. I'm including wrestling and baseball. Hot Stove sucks, by the way, huh?
This has been such a boring baseball season, man.
When did J.D. Martinez sign last year?
It was got to be pretty
could
close
it be later
March?
This year with like Harper and Machado?
I think Machado will sign by middle January.
Yeah, but Tulo just signed, and I don't know if that's a move to.
Nah, I don't think that is. I think that's just like something they couldn't not do.
Yeah,
I think that will just be white noise eventually.
Okay.
So I think Machado will end up being a Yankee.
And then we got football playoffs till February. College basketball starts up. March Madness. Hockey starts to get a little bit more interesting when the playoff race comes in. And then there's baseball futures. And There's a lot to talk about.
Basketball, NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs so are that'll money makers.
That'll come up. And yeah, I mean, NBA playoffs, just, you know, every single square play, Joe is probably going to make more money than anyone else in the NBA.
I used to bet
he
Golden State
sniffs out those squares.
Second half, like you couldn't believe.
Sniffs out
and,
those
And I'll give you one bet right now I've been noticing, Dan. Celtics third quarter, not good.
Not good in the second quarter either.
Well, there you go. Maybe quarters. Look at them.
So Golden State third quarter has been a play that people have just been playing. This year, if you know me, I've been riding the Brooklyn Nets first quarter, first half. Same with the Memphis Grizzlies first half. Just been riding those. The Bulls are a good first quarter team. Same with the Cavs. So, you know, the bad teams are pretty good in the first quarter and then fade down the stretch.
Tank.
You know, like the Suns are a terrible first quarter team, though. And they just immediately fade down the stretch, which is terrible because I actually liked their over a lot this year. I thought they were going to hit their win total over a lot. So that's going to end up being a loss for me.
All right. Well, we're going to go get right into the wild card weekend games, give you some futures on the Super Bowl as well, and the national title game that is on Monday night. We'll have that pick right here for you. You're listening to 98 over under 985, not 98.5 the Sports Show, over under at 98.5 the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We'll get it right into the Indy Houston game right in a minute here.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with over under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, over under 985, Saturday, January 5th, 2019, 4:35 p.m. The Houston Texans host the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, I see Houston at -1, Dan. I don't know if the line's moved a little bit.
It's at 2.
All right, I see 1, you see 2. Just talking about the game quickly. If you had to look at both teams, this is an interesting conversation I had with somebody yesterday. Who's the best player on the field between these two teams?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, I think it's J.J. Watt. And then I went to Hopkins.
And
Hopkins has been un-friggin' believable.
I think Watt is too inconsistent still. I think when he has great games, but when he doesn't show up, he really doesn't show up.
You're right. Yeah, and we've seen it here in New England in playoff games.
It's just not the motor. They just take him out. You know what I mean? They just take him out and say, J.J. Clown, he beat us.
Colts offensive line, I know it's improved.
It's been very good this year.
The Colts are a good team, and they're probably a good pick here at value money, considering they're getting a point. Maybe it'll go up to 2, as you talked about, and you can get a money line bet there.
But open at 3.
I like Houston in this matchup. They've won playoff games with T.J. Yates, okay? They've won playoff games with... who else has played quarterback for them? Like, they've won some... Hoyer lost. But, like, they've won playoff games with bad quarterbacks.
TJ might have won two of them. Brian Savage?
Maybe.
I think it was Tom, sorry.
Tom
Brian,
Savage.
Tom Savage, yeah.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is they found ways
Wasn't it Tom Savage versus... who was the backup? Matt McGloin?
It was a shit game.
A couple
game.
Years ago in Oakland? I think the Texans won that one.
I just like Houston in the spot. They beat their win total this year. Deshaun Watson has been in games like this before. He's been in, I know it's college level, say what you want. I think that his ability to play the game and the way that the wide receiver there, you know, Hopkins is playing, he's outstanding right now. I also think they can contain Mack at running back. So just in this matchup, I like the home team. I like the defense, and I like Deshaun Watson. Who's the better quarterback in this matchup? It's probably Andrew Luck, right?
I'd say it's pretty even. I'd say it's probably you're splitting hairs if you're choosing Luck or Watson. I mean, they're very not similar, but very similar in terms of value to the point line and to where their talent level is right now. So I'm gonna disagree with you, Joe. I like the Colts this week. To me, it comes down to this. Who has the more talented, more consistent team? Who's shown up and won the bigger games?
Well, I think it's the Texans.
See, I think it's the Colts. They basically had a playoff game last week. They won. They showed up in Tennessee. Again, a hard place to play.
Dropped 30 points on them.
Dropped 30 points. Won easily going away. You know, Luck was awesome. The Texans have covering tight ends. And you know who's been just an ultimate scoring machine this year? Eric Ebron. It's going to be very hard for the Texans to cover everyone this year. Now, the Colts run game, they have some guys. I mean, Nyheim Hines has been decent. Mac has been good when he's been healthy. I think they can run the ball. You know, they're not going to be an elite running team, just like the Texans. You know, Lamar Miller is not an elite running back. Neither is Donta Foreman. So, both teams can run the ball decently.
I'll give you this, Dan. The Colts have not given up 30 points in their last 10 games. Like, they've given up less than 30 in 10 straight games.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I do. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I know the over-under is at 48.5, which, again, is high for a playoff game. I like the over 48.5 there. I think it's probably going to be a more square play. But I do think that at the total, I think you're going to see the over 48.5. I just think it's going to be very hard to cover T.Y. Hilton and to cover Ebron. And the cover, all the guys, they have multiple guys. I mean, I know that Rodgers is not like a big, a big name, but like he's been very consistent for them. They've gotten consistent production from their wide receivers. Luck has been consistently extremely good this year. Watson has struggled at times. I think the Texans have a better defense, but I think they have the worst offense. You take Hopkins out of that game and you double cover him every play, and you're asking Kiki Kuti to beat you. And I just, it's going to be hard for me to bet on that. I just think the Colts are the better side here. I think that they're going to win. I think they're the more experienced side in the playoffs. And so, therefore, I like the Colts plus two. I like the over 48.5. I'm not going to make a play on this one. But I do think maybe closer to kickoff, I might make a play here. Colts plus two for me.
If there's anything I like on the board, it's the over. I didn't have to choose a side, I would take the over. Both teams, I'll probably get you 20+. The only thing, like I mentioned, Colts have been keeping teams under 30 points. Houston is one of the top run-stuffing teams in the league. So if Andrew Luck's throwing the football, it's probably advantage Colts. I'll give you that one. At the same time, the coaching matchup is interesting. Frank Reich, guy who came off a Super Bowl win as an offensive coordinator. Bill O'Brien, who sucks. Let's just face it.
Bill O'Brien is not a good head coach.
And he has won games with worse. But now he's got Deshaun Watson. Like, all the talent that they've drafted over the few years, it's the Texans' time. It is.
Yeah.
But, again, when you look at coaching matchups, I like the offensive coordinator trend in the league of high-scoring offenses. Andrew Luck hasn't had his big moment yet. They lost in the AFC Championship game to the Pats 1 year. Like, if he won that game, that would have been big for him. This could be a huge matchup. I'm going to lean over right now. We're doing this podcast on a Thursday. Right now, I lean over. But when it comes before kickoff, I might take the Texans just because I feel like home field might be the important in this game.
All right, let's move on. The Seattle Seahawks are flying in to Dallas to take on the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC wildcard game on Saturday. It starts at 8:15.
Who's got the momentum, Dan?
The line right now is at 2.5, Joe. The over-under is set at 43.
Who's got momentum in this game?
Oh, I think both teams do. I think they're pretty similar. I mean, Dallas has won a big game.
Dallas won a huge game in the final second.
Without
Seattle won on a kick.
Yeah, without their starting running back. Seattle won starting everyone. I think that both teams have a lot of momentum. I will say, I think that it's good that Seattle's going to be playing indoors. We talked about it on Touch and Rich today. I like Seattle. I have a hard time backing Dak Prescott right now. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think that he's gotten by and been very lucky. He's had a lot of open receivers. Amari Cooper has been a revelation for him. The Dallas defense is very good, but Seattle's defense has been equally as impressive down the stretch, to be honest with you. I just think that this is going to be the type of game where, I think the dog is going to win this one again.
Can Seattle get their running game going against that?
Well, Carson has been quietly very good the past couple games. I mean, he's had a couple 100-yard games, had a bunch of touchdowns. I just think quietly Chris Carson has been extremely
good. Earlier this year, he rushed for over 100 yards against Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, he's been
and a touchdown.
He's quietly been an extremely impressive name to look at, you know, in terms of fantasy football running backs. I mean, he's been very consistent, very solid. I just feel that he's, you know, extremely impressive. In my opinion, I think Seattle's right side. They're probably going to be a public dog. I think Indy is going to do the same. And, you know, for me, those are pretty gross. But, you know, Seattle in a dome, you know, not having to worry about the weather. I just think that this is good conditions. Russell Wilson, this is, you know, playoff Russell Wilson. If you want to bet against playoff Russell Wilson, be my guest. I'm not going to. Not with Dallas. You want to bet against playoff Russell Wilson, fine. But not with this Dallas team. They're not prolific enough on offense. Seattle, they're going to commit to stopping the run.
Seattle had the best turnover ratio in football this year. If Dallas turns the football over, the game's over.
Agreed.
That's probably the way to look at it. Their defense will do their job. Late, though, if Russell Wilson has the football, I'll put my money on Wilson every single time. Every single time. Total 42.5 over.
Yeah, I think that's where the sharps are leaning. I think this is going to be an under game. I really do. I think this is going to be an under game. I think you're going to see good Dallas defense. I think Seattle is going to make it very tough for Dallas to run the ball. I think Zeke maybe get a touchdown at the goal line or something like that. But I think in general, it's going to be a tough game for him. So I lean under on that one. I know the sharps are on the over. I lean under. So.
Dallas lost 24-13 on September 23rd.
Long time ago. But, I mean, you know, something to factor in.
And if you're looking at the total, it went under.
Fair.
So fair. Two teams know each other a little bit more. Loosens up a little bit. That's why I kind of lean the over on that one. Again, we it's Thursday. I got a couple more days to look at this stuff.
Yep.
And I'm glad we're doing the podcast today. We'll see. We don't have a PP yet.
Nope.
People want us to announce when we're doing our PPs. No PPs yet. So those are the Saturday games, Dan.
Yep.
And then Sunday, 105, Baltimore hosts the Chargers. Chargers came off a nice win against Denver last week. I don't think anybody got hurt. They're a good team on the road, as we know. Baltimore snuck out that win. Here's a couple of concerns for me off the bat. L.A. traveling for a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday. Right? The running game of the Baltimore run-pass option, Lamar Jackson, and just their defensive late. Off the bat, I lean Baltimore.
I'm surprised you lean Baltimore. I mean, especially backing a rookie quarterback in the playoffs. Very tough.
In something, how many times have I faded Lamar Jackson this year?
A lot. I actually agree with you. I think that the Chargers are going to go down in the first round. We talked about this on Touch and Rich. Everyone loves the Chargers. Everyone thinks they're the value play. Everyone thinks they're so good. And I thought that for a while, too. But they look like crap the past few weeks. Let's call a spade a spade.
Last week they played Denver, who was coaching.
And they did not look good. They did not look good.
I think they had a pick two that kind of changed the game around.
They did.
In the end zone.
But they did not look good in that first half. They did not look good in general. I just don't think they're playing very well down the stretch. You need to play your best football right now.
They looked bad against the Baltimore the last time they played them. Granted, it was on the road, and they're supposed to be – was that at home? Was that at home that game?
What?
The Ravens –
They were home.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, Baltimore won what essentially is a playoff game, and I'm aware Cleveland messed that game up. Cleveland probably should have won that game, and you probably see Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Probably. However, that's not what happened. And Baltimore's here. I think that Lamar Jackson's extremely impressive. And, again, that's a divisional game. It's always different. Those games are totally different. I think Lamar Jackson's been extremely impressive. I don't back rookies in the playoffs. I'm going to back them here. I'm going to back the rookie here. I will not take them the next round if they win. But I just think that the Chargers are going to be a huge dog play. Not every dog can win. And I just like Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. I don't think they're going to win next round, but I do like them this round. I think that Baltimore is going to take care of business at home, and I think that they will win. The over-under on that one, by the way, 41.5. And that stinks to me.
Over.
That stinks to me like an under trap, and I feel like it's going to go over as well.
Yep.
So I feel like that's to me exactly.
Is this the lowest total on the board?
No, actually, Philly Chicago is at 41. Oh, so, no. But yeah, 41.5. I lean over in the Baltimore game too.
So this is something I look at just head to heads over the last couple of years. Baltimore won the last meeting in 22-10. A couple of years ago, I know it's completely different teams. Baltimore won 29-26. Before that, Chargers got the win. Like, it seems like the Baltimore wins two in a row. That is the Chargers. Baltimore two in a row. Just based off the history, in this case, I see Baltimore two in a row after what happened just a couple of weeks back. This is a deciding game. Like, we already talked about Indy and Houston and what it can mean for the playoffs. All that means is that either the Colts are going to the Chiefs or the Texans are going to the Patriots. With the Ravens game, a lot could happen here. The Ravens could be the team going to the Chiefs. I think they can win on the road. The other thing about it is if the Chargers win, well, maybe they're that team that everyone's been talking about. Watch out here. And they'd be another team that has to go into the Chiefs. And as we've seen, you know, they can win on the road. So, very important game between Baltimore and the Chargers. And every line here is close, except for the 4 o'clock game.
Agreed.
The Chicago's minus 6 against Philly.
I see 5.5, but yeah.
So, here's the deal. Do you want to go against Philly in the playoffs, people? Did you do it last year? How'd you do? In this spot, fade. Fade, fade, fade. Foles has some sort of injury we don't know about. Nobody talked about it.
It's a chest.
I think it was like his chest or whatever.
He probably has broken ribs. Let's call it broken ribs, cracked sternum, something like that.
Chicago didn't come all this way this year to put everything together to lose to that bunch. I'm sorry. I like Chicago minus the 6, and I'm making it my PP.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of stole my thunder there. I think that Chicago is going to win as well. I was thinking about making it my PP. I'm not going to do it just yet. I'm actually not going to have any PPs in the NFL this week. So I'm not going to have any PPs. I will give out a play in the NFL on Sunday or Saturday. I just think that Philly is going to have a hard time scoring versus them. They're going to cover Ertz and say, make us beat you with your wide receivers. Foles clearly is not healthy. You know, they do have a very dynamic offense, but their defense is terrible. And I just think that Chicago has enough weapons between Allen Robinson and Trey Burton and their running backs right now, Tariq Cohen, and I'm blanking on who their other running back is. Jordan Howard, sorry. They've all been very good. Consistently, you know, you are going to have to worry about Anthony Miller not playing because it looked like he separated his shoulder last week. He's probably not going to play this week. So that is a concern if you're backing the Bears. But, I mean, their defense has been so good. I just have a hard time believing that the Bears' defense has played all, you know, so well this year and is not going to show up against the Eagles, who, while were so good last year, were in the regular season. I mean, yes, they had Nick Foles, but they were still so good in the regular season, so consistent. I just don't see that consistency this year, Joe. I just don't think that the Eagles are a good enough team. The spread, to me, screams that everyone's going to want to take the Eagles. You know, they're getting enough points. I think the Bears are going to win this going away. I do. I'm not going to make it my PP yet, but I'm very close to a consensus PP here. Definitely my strongest lean.
Can you talk about that? I got some shit for saying fading the LSU Sharps, going with UCF, and people are like, oh, like that really works out. But in this case here, you see the 6 and the Eagles and people jumping on it immediately makes you think the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the sharps are definitely the Eagles. Listen, sharp bettors are consistently respected by books, and so numbers move when they make larger wagers. You know, even if it doesn't necessarily move the money percentage. For instance, if there's 80% of the money on the Patriots and 20% of the money on the Lions, but you consistently see the sharp bettors coming in on the Lions, the line is still going to move towards the sharps regardless of the money. And for most books, that's how it works. I mean, yes, sometimes books will care more about the money if they feel, you know, if they feel that they have a better advantage than the sharps do, or for whatever reason, every book has a different kind of idea when it comes to every game. But most of the time, people will move towards the sharp bettors because they're to be respected, quote unquote. In regards to this, I mean, you know, it opened at 6. It's down to 5.5 for me. It actually opened at 7 in most places I'm seeing, Joe. It's down to 5.5 for me. Yeah, I mean, you know, there might be some value at 7. And again, sharp bettors don't bet. They don't bet a team. And people don't understand that. They say, oh, they bet the Eagles at 7. They're not betting a team. They're betting a number. Same thing with the Bama-Clemson game open at 7. Sharps and Media took the 7. It's not because it's the team. It's because of the number.
I took Oklahoma at 14 because I thought that was the right number.
Yeah, you're betting a number, not a team. And so that's the difference between sharp bettors and public bettors. They bet public bettors bet teams. Sharp bettors bet numbers. And so that's kind of the way it is. So that's why when Joe, you know, a couple weeks ago took Arizona State after what you leaned Fresno State on the podcast, it's because he was taking a number, not a team. And I think that people... people don't understand that. There's a huge difference in value between 4 and 6.5. There was a guy on Twitter I was fighting with who told me, oh, there's value in taking, I can't remember what game.
You fought with a guy on Twitter?
Yeah, shocking, right? He told me there was value in taking Kentucky at 3. And I said, no, there's no value. Or Pittsburgh at 3, sorry. Because we also hit Pitt, by the way. That was another game that we didn't even talk about that we hit. That you know, there's value to taking Pittsburgh at 3. I said, there's no value anymore. There's no value at 3. He goes, no, there still is because
it went from like 6 to 3.5 or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no value. He goes, no, you can still get them at like +150 on the money line. That's value. No, there's not. It's about where you think the number is right. And so if you determine the number's right at 3, I think you're an idiot. I don't think you know what you're doing, and I think you're a bad bettor. I think that's consistently going to happen. Just because you see a number doesn't necessarily make it have value, even if it's the right side. You have to find the value, and that's why it's consistently hard for people to find bets because they bet teams or you know they say, oh, is it okay at this number? You have to determine where you think the value lies. And if you think the value lies at a certain number, then you can't bet past that number. So for me – getting the Bears at 5.5, I think that you're going to see some sharp money coming on Chicago. It'll probably go down to 5, Joe. You'll probably see this at 5. And I think it will probably come back up to 5.5, 6 o'clock or 6 by kickoff on Sunday. So I think there's value at 5, 5.5, in my opinion, for the Bears. I do. I think there's legitimate value there. I understand it's 7, but I think the books open that line for a reason. And I do think that the Bears are going to cover that line.
All right, there you go. So those are all our football picks for this week. Any futures you like in the NFL? I think the Bears at 1,050 is worth a shot for like $5,100.
I think the Bears are probably your best value play in terms of what's on the board. Everyone says the Chargers. I actually think that they have the hardest road out of any team in the NFL to make the playoffs. Yeah. You have to go on the road to Baltimore, then on the road to Kansas City or New England, then on the road to Kansas City and New England. No. Hard pass. I mean, if you think there's value there, more power to you, man. I don't think you understand what value is. That is my personal opinion. I think that that there's no value there. I think the best value bet, actually, in my opinion, the best value bet is Seattle. Because +2850 for Seattle. If you take Seattle at +2850, or you can take the Texans at +3300 and just take the other side. So if you could take the Texans and win the Super Bowl, +3300, you can continue to fade them on that side. So if you take the Colts at +150 or whatever they end up closing at, then you immediately make some money there. You know? 100 or whatever, and you can just continue fading the Texans. Same thing with Seattle. I like Seattle +2850 in terms of the actual win. I think that's the best value. Chicago +1050 is not bad either. So that's where I would lean. You want to get into the final college bowl games of the year?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Final college bowl games, baby. We have like 5 minutes.
Let's do it.
Let's bang it out. You're listening to Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 98.5.
All right, Over Under 985, National Championship Monday night. Last year I bet Alabama and Tua came in and I was all fired up. And I like Clemson right off the bat this year. Right off the bat. And what does the line do, Dan? It moves down 6.5 to 5.5. Total is high, I feel like. 559-60.
I think it's low. I think it's low for two passing teams that have explosive offense. We saw last week. I mean, both those teams hit over 30 points. So, I mean, I think it's low for two explosive offenses, Joe. So, I mean, that's originally the way I look at the line. I am not going to be betting the total. I don't think there's any value on the total. I don't think there's any value on the line. You tell me you probably could get Clemson at 7. I might consider taking that the way that Bama looked that second half, Joe. Bama just seems like a first half team now, don't they? They seem like a team that comes out hot, and then they just kind of fade down the stretch a little bit. They get tired. Maybe they use a lot of their tactical knowledge in the first half, and they just kind of fade. And that's not the way they were last year. They were the complete opposite last year. Again, so you know where I'm going in this one, Joe. Bama -3, first half, -115. That's going to be my play. The team total is over 17. I don't think I'm going to take that either. Clemson team total is over 13.5, which means that they are saying that they don't think Clemson's going to get 2 touchdowns, which is interesting to me. I think that Bama is going to be – I think Bama covers the first half by a touchdown. So, 6 points, whatever it is. I think Bama's going to cover that first half -3. That's going to be my one PP of the podcast, Bama -3 first half. That is the only PP I have for this podcast. And I just think that is the right side for the first half. I think there's a good chance that Clemson still covers this game, Joe. I really do. I think Clemson is a good team. I think they've been undervalued all year. I think there's a good chance that Clemson is going to win this game.
My heart says Clemson. My wallet says Alabama. Right? I mean, Alabama won that big game. See, to your point, how they looked in the second half isn't encouraging. How Clemson looked in the second half is encouraging. Clemson can throw the football. Has anyone really tested Alabama this year?
No. I mean, Kyler Murray did.
And he also had the running ability, but so doesn't Lawrence.
But I mean, he threw the ball very well, and I think Lawrence is a better pro prospect than he is. If you told me, choose one right now, Murray or Lawrence, I would take Lawrence 100 times out of 100.
Me
He's
too.
A better pro prospect.
Me too. Absolutely. Etienne had 4 carries for 22 yards last year against Alabama. That needs to improve. The secondary of Clemson was tried last week. They're not solid. They're good against, like, the run. So I feel like Alabama could have an edge there. Just watching both teams, Alabama plays a tougher schedule. Does that slow them down later on in the year?
They also made a lot of mistakes last week. A lot of false starts.
False starts. Oh, yeah. Saban was pissed.
Very, very frustrated to watch Bama.
You're absolutely right. Like,
I just...
Which team played better? It was Clemson.
I think it was Clemson. I think Clemson is definitely the sharp side. I think you'll see the public on Alabama, just as I said. I think Clemson is definitely the sharp side. I think that there's going to be a lot of people who love Bama. And I think what you're going to end up seeing, Joe, is I think you're going to see Tua a lot this game. I think you're going to see Bama mix with Jalen Hurts. I think that the Bama is going to have to give Clemson some other looks. You're going to have to do something because that defense is very good. I think you're going to have to mix it up. I think you're going to have to give them some different looks. Some things maybe they haven't prepared for, at least not as much. So if you give Hurts in there, even throwing the ball a little bit, I think that giving them some different looks will be good. I really do. I think that is going to be what you're going to have to do if you're Bama. I think Clemson just has the better defense, which is surprising because I did not feel that way a couple weeks ago. But the way that Oklahoma moved the ball versus Bama, they have suspect corners still. You know, it's not the running game I'm very concerned with. I think they can stop the running game. It's the passing game. And so that does concern me. And if there's going to be a lot of options, I think Clemson is going to take advantage of that. I think it's going to be a very good game. I think it's going to be a close-scoring game. But I do think that Clemson is going to cover this game. I think that Bama is going to have the good first half. I think that that's what I expect. Bama have a good first half. Clemson have a good second half. It's going to be continuing the kind of trends of them, you know, that we've been looking for.
Yeah, I think we lean the under.
Yeah, I think we're leaning
the under.
Lean, very small. I'm not playing it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to play it.
I'm probably not going to play it total either. I like the Alabama first half angle.
I just think that when you're 11-2 on something and you consistently showed it week in, week out, including last week, I think you back the angle. And again, Clemson didn't look great in the first half last week.
Yep.
And he looked great in the second half. I mean, it just, to me, the right, consistently this year, Clemson has been a second half team. Bama has been a first half
team. Who's been the best team this year, in your opinion?
Bama.
Okay.
I think Bama's been the best team this year. They face better competition. That doesn't necessarily make them the team that's going to win. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win on Monday.
Does, just going back a couple of years, didn't Watson kind of have that it factor?
Yeah, he had some.
Do you feel like, I feel Lawrence can be a better passer for sure.
I feel Tua has that factor this year. I feel that that's definitely yeah. Tua. But I just feel that Lawrence comes up, you know, on these big plays, he comes up huge.
Big boy throws.
Hunter Renfro is
still going.
Difficult, almost impossible to cover. It's just there's a lot of factors for both sides. I just think that Clemson's going to be able to move the ball on them. I do. I think Clemson's going to be able to move the ball, and I think that Bama is going to have a hard time scoring sometimes. So I think you're going to see them at times really sputter 2-3 drives in a row. And so that is kind of my issue with Bama, is that when they stop scoring and they stop being efficient is when you really see them struggle. And that's exactly what happened versus Oklahoma. They just stopped being efficient, and, you know, Oklahoma got back in that ballgame. So, and then finally, we have Eastern Washington versus
North Dakota State
in the FCS championship.
Off the bat, I don't know the line.
14.5.
North Dakota State?
North Dakota State favored by 14.5.
Can we take Eastern Washington?
I'm going to take Eastern Washington.
All right.
For fun.
I've watched that. That quarterback's pretty good.
Yes.
He might get drafted.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's on a list.
North Dakota State's going to win. They're not going to cover. 14.5 is a lot of points, in my opinion. And almost, there's 85% of the bets on North Dakota State, 90% of the money. It's also 90% of the money on the over, which is right now at 60.5. So a lot of money coming in on North Dakota State, a lot of money coming in on the over. The funny thing, Joe, line has not moved at all. Open at 14.5, hasn't moved despite all the money coming in on North Dakota State. I like Eastern Washington to cover the number. So
yeah, and I'm only saying that just as a pure, like, know nothing about it. I know nothing about it. All I know is Eastern Washington beat Maine because Dan picked Maine, lost. And I watched the game. I actually watched Eastern Washington.
Yeah. So.
All right. Anything else?
No. I mean, not really for me. I mean, for a hockey play tonight, I kind of like Washington. I like Washington a little bit. I mean, really, I don't like the hockey slate much. I lean the Canadians, no value. I lean Tampa, no value. I like Washington a little bit, but not much, you know, there's not much there. Didn't like the NBA slate. I might have a college basketball play, but I honestly haven't taken a deep look into it. So if I get this out, I'll come in right after work. I'm going to come do the podcast, edit it, post it up. Hopefully it'll be out by 7:30.
Hard working, man.
Yep. We'll see what happens. So.
All right. And stay tuned for our Twitter account, at Joey Murrah, at Dan Lifshads, at Over Under 985. Hopefully this was informative for you guys.
Yep.
Only one PP. I got Chicago.
I have one PP on Bama first half. So, I mean, yeah, well, you have the Bears -5.5. I have the Crimson Tide covering 3 in the first half. That's it. Nothing super strong for me either. I like the Bears, but, I mean, you know.
All right. In future shows, parts unknown. We don't know where we'll be.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of change next week in regards to the podcast schedule. My fault. Not Joe's, so 100% my fault. So I had to
get married earlier this year. So
yeah, but this is my fault. So we'll be updating that. You might have your podcast coming out on Friday, but it really doesn't matter because there's no more college football.
That's right.
This is the end.
We could do games all Sunday or Saturday morning. Sunday mornings.
We could drop it Saturday morning. So,
all right then. For Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. One final thing: Antonio Brown with Steelers next year or not? If you had to make a bet.
No. I don't think so.
Okay. We're going to get the odds on that one.
Although they take tremendous cap hits if they trade him.
Yeah. But I think they got to wait until June or something.
At some point, you have to get rid of the player. So.
All right. That's our podcast for this week. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.